Some airplanes fade out with a press release nobody reads. This one is different. For nearly 40 years, a French-built naval fighter flew off the decks and out of the shore bases of the Argentine Navy. It carried the Exocet missile that changed how the world thought about anti-ship warfare. And this week, quietly, that chapter closed for good. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Tower, and this is ATIS, where we take the headlines and tell you what they actually mean. Today we're talking about the end of the Super Étendard in Argentine service and why an old carrier jet retiring at the bottom of South America is worth 20 minutes of your attention. Let's get into it. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Here's what you need to know. According to The Aviationist, the Argentine Navy, the Armada de la República Argentina, or ARA, has abandoned its long-running effort to return the Dassault Brigade Super Étendard to operational service. After decades of flying, the aircraft is being retired for good as the Navy restructures its aviation branch, sheds legacy airframes, and brings in newer capability. Now, let me say the name the right way, because it matters. Super Étendard. Étendard is French for standard, as in a battle flag, the banner a unit carries. So this is the super standard. Dassault built it as a carrier-borne strike fighter for the French Navy in the 1970s, and Argentina became an early export customer. Let me give you the shape of the airplane first, then we'll get to why it earned a place in history. The Super Étendard is a single-seat, single-engine naval attack jet. One turbojet, swept wing, built to catapult off a carrier deck, fly a strike profile low and fast over water, and trap back aboard on a wire. It was never a dogfighter in the way people picture fighters. It was a delivery system, a precise purpose-built platform for putting a weapon on a ship. And that weapon is the whole story. The headline doesn't tell the whole story, so let's go back to 1982. The Falklands War, the Malvinas, as they're known in Argentina. A short, brutal conflict in the South Atlantic between Argentina and the United Kingdom over a cluster of windswept islands. Argentina had taken delivery of only a handful of Super Étendards, just 5 aircraft, and a small stock of the weapon they were built to carry, the Exocet anti-ship missile. Exocet from the French word for flying fish. A sea-skimming missile that flies low, right down on the wavetops, hard to see, and hard to stop. Here is the part every naval aviator studied afterward. On the 4th of May, 1982, 2 Argentine Super Étendards launched from the mainland, refueled in the air, went in low to stay under radar, popped up just long enough to find their target, and fired. One Exocet struck the British destroyer HMS Sheffield. The ship was lost. Later in the war, the same combination struck again, hitting a merchant vessel being used to ferry critical helicopters and supplies. Think about that. 5 airplanes and a small handful of missiles forced one of the most capable navies in the world to completely rethink its air defenses in the middle of a shooting war. That is a lesson in asymmetric capability that gets taught in war colleges to this day. It was never about how many airframes you had on the ramp. It was about what one of them could do on the right day, flown the right way. So why should this matter to you, sitting in a hangar or a cockpit or a car listening right now? Because this is a story about the life cycle of an airframe, and every one of us who flies is living inside that same story on a smaller scale. Let me explain what I mean. An airplane does not retire because it stopped flying well. It retires because keeping it airworthy stops making sense. Parts, support, the manufacturer moving on, the people who know the system's aging out, that's true for a carrier fighter, and it's true for the airplane on your tie-down. The Super Étendard is a great example. This is a design rooted in the 1970s. The company that built it has long since moved on to newer generations. Spares get scarce. Every component has a shelf life, a service life, and eventually a last flight, whether anyone planned it that way or not. Argentina spent years trying to keep the fleet viable, reportedly working through modernized examples acquired later, and in the end, the math simply stopped working. This affects you if you fly anything with a few decades on the airframe, and most of general aviation does. The average airplane in the American GA fleet is not young. Think about how many Cessna 172s, Piper Cherokees, and Beechcraft Bonanzas out there rolled off the line before a lot of their current owners were born. Those airplanes are magnificent, and they can fly safely for decades more with proper care. But the same forces that grounded a fleet of naval fighters apply in miniature to the airplane you love. Parts availability. Ask anyone chasing a discontinued component for an older avionics stack or a legacy engine accessory. Sometimes the answer is a long wait, a used part, or an approved alternative. Sometimes it's a hard-stop supplemental type certificates and upgrade paths. Sometimes the smartest way to keep an old airframe flying is to modernize it. New panel, new engine monitor, occasionally a new power plant entirely. The airframe outlives its original systems, and you graft the future onto a proven structure. And here is the quieter one. Institutional knowledge. When the mechanics who trained on a specific type retire, the practical wisdom of keeping it healthy can walk out the door with them. That's true for a naval air arm, and it's true for your local shop that happens to have the one A&P who really understands your model. So when you read that Argentina is retiring the Super Etendard, don't just file it under foreign military news. Read it as a case study. It's the same set of decisions every aircraft owner and every flight department faces, scaled up to a warship's flight deck. Now, let me flag something as opinion, because I told you I would when I crossed that line. In my view, there's a lesson here about how nations and pilots plan for the end of a type before the end of a type before the end arrives. The Argentine effort to bring these jets back reportedly stretched on for years modernization attempts, acquired airframes to keep the line alive. A lot of energy spent trying to resurrect a capability. That's the trap. It's emotionally hard to let go of a proven platform. It did something legendary. It defined a generation of naval aviators, but sentiment doesn't fly the airplane. Logistics does. And a capability you can't reliably sustain is not really a capability. It's a museum piece with an engine. The professional move, the disciplined move, is to recognize the moment and transition on your terms rather than have the decision made for you by a broken part you can't source. That applies to a Navy replacing a fleet. It applies to you deciding whether this is the year for the engine overhaul, the panel upgrade, or an honest conversation about the next airplane. Which brings us to the other half of this news. Argentina isn't just subtracting. The report notes the Navy is restructuring its aviation fleet, retiring the legacy aircraft, and introducing new capabilities. That's the healthy version of this cycle. You don't just ground the old thing and walk away from the mission. You carry the mission forward on a platform you can actually support. That's what a good transition looks like at any scale. You honor what the old airplane did, you capture the lessons, and you move the crews, the training, and the mission onto something sustainable. Let me bring it home with what the Super Etendard actually leaves behind. It leaves behind a proof of concept that reshaped naval warfare. The idea that a small, well-equipped strike element carrying a smart sea-skimming missile could threaten the largest surface ships afloat. Navies around the world spent the next four decades building defenses against exactly that scenario. Point defense missiles, close-in weapon systems, layered radar pictures, electronic countermeasures, a huge amount of modern warship design traces back, in part to five airplanes and a French flying fish in the South Atlantic in 1982, and it leaves behind the men who flew it. Naval aviation is the hardest flying there is. Catapult off a moving deck over cold open ocean and come back to land on a target that is pitching and rolling and shrinking behind you at night. The Argentine crews who flew the Super Etendard for nearly 40 years earned every hour. When a type retires, we tend to talk about the airframe. Let's remember the people who made it mean something. So here's the takeaway. An airplane's job is never done because it got old. It's done when we can no longer keep the promise of safe, sustainable flight. Recognizing that moment honestly, without sentiment clouding the checklist, is one of the marks of a professional. Whether you're a Navy or a Saturday morning renter, the discipline is the same. The Super Etendard flew its last chapter this week, standard down, colors furled, a hard-earned rest. My thanks to The Aviationist for the reporting behind today's story. You can always find us at radiohangar.com. This is Tower, signing off from ATs. Keep your maintenance honest and your logbook current, and I'll talk to you next time.